Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and on today's show, we will be talking with Brian Balfour of the Civitas Institute about how the economy is in a bubble, or whether the economy is in a bubble, and what that means. And that is not unlike the housing bubble that popped in 2008, crashing the housing market, and what could that look like on a economy size scale, on our economy in America's size scale. What can the federal government do to avert it or temper it? What can the state government do? And then what can you do to insulate yourself from an economic bubble, a bubble economy? So we will move right into that segment with Brian. Okay, Brian, thanks for joining us again on What Matters in North Carolina. And how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, Matt. Thank you.
So you wanted to come on today to talk with us about bubbles, right?
Yeah, not blowing bubbles with bubble gum, but bubble in terms of, are we experiencing a bubble economy, meaning an unsustainable growth that's superficial. It's not from a natural outgrowth of sound business investment and fundamentals of the economy.
Okay, so this is similar to the housing bubble, the housing market bubble that popped in I think 2008, and this is sort of similar to that, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And a big question is we need to be looking at this is, are we making the same mistakes that we did that led up to that 2008 bubble? And I've posted an article kind of walking through some of the steps, some of the signs to be looking for in this case. And it certainly seems to be pointing in that direction. So just kind of looking through this, I kind of lay out the case. There's three main things to kind of be on the lookout for when we're looking if whether the economy is on a sustainable path or if it's a bubble being inflated, a boom and bust cycle that we're entering into. So the first of that is, and this is based off of what's commonly referred to as an Austrian theory of business cycle, which traces back to economists like Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich Hayek from the Austrian school, the so-called name. So the first thing we want to look at is the banking system and the money supply itself. And this is really important because obviously money is on one side of all of our economic exchanges. So if there's something, some false signals being sent through the money supply, then that can really cause some massive discoordination in the economy. So what happens when, a popular term is creating money out of thin air. And when referring to that, we're typically referring to what the Federal Reserve does and some of the actions they take when they're trying to hold interest rates low. Basically, what they do is the Federal Reserve will go and they'll buy government bonds, typically with money, but creating money out of thin air. To do this, basically they'll go say to bank XYZ, for example, and purchase $1 million of these assets, of these bonds. So the bank's reserves goes up by $1 million, but nowhere else. It's not like money's being transferred from somewhere else, like in a normal exchange. No, the Federal Reserve is just doing an electronic entry onto the bank's balance sheet. So, there's no offsetting debit anywhere. So now all of a sudden there's $1 million that just has poof, come out of nowhere, that's now circulating in the economy, in the economic system.
And that weakens the dollar, doesn't it? So $1's worth this much, but there's more dollars, but there's no more gold. There's no more value to be created with it. So that weakens us on a national or international stage, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's inflating the money supply, and that's what's going to cause prices of things to go up. And we'll kind of get to that in a minute as well. I mean, that's a great point. You've got more money basically kind of chasing the same amount of goods and services. So obviously just simple supply and demand, the way they offset each other, we're going to see, more dollars being required to purchase goods and services, the same set of goods and services. So just kind of looking at some of the figures on the money supply, certainly the Federal Reserve aggressively, has been keeping interest rates low. back in 2008 during the last crisis. Interest rates dropped from above 5% down to nearly 0%. I mean, these were sort of pretty drastic measures they were trying to take to try to recover from the last recession. And in so doing, they have more than quadrupled the monetary base from $874 billion in late 2008 to nearly $3.9 trillion today. So it's there. I mean, that's just an unprecedented amount of monetary printing and creation of money being created out of thin air, basically. Now, not all of that, you know, a decent amount of that has been continued to be bottled up in the banking system. The Federal Reserve has taken the unprecedented step of paying banks to keep their reserves in their, you know, basically in their vaults, you know, to try to temper that a little bit to make sure not too much of that money has gone out into the economy. But, you know, that leads us to then the second question. We've got all this new money being printed. Okay, where does it go? You know, that the money that does end up in the economy, you know, where is that going to end up? So, of course, you know, because interest rates are being kept so low as part of this process, it's going to go, that money is going to find its way into those sectors of the economy that are most sensitive to interest rates. You know, think about from a consumer side of things, it's going to be the more durable consumer goods like houses and cars. You know, those are the things that we take out loans, oftentimes longer term loans, to purchase. So it's going to make a big impact on your decision to make that purchase, whether interest rates are at, you know, 1% versus 5 or 6 or 7%. So that new money is going to find itself into these industries. From the business investment standpoint, it's going to be the more durable capital good investments that that are going to be providing services to these businesses for a long time. So they're typically also financed on a longer term basis. So it's where that money flows to is typically in those areas. And so when you're looking for a bubble economy, you want to look for signs in those industries for outsized growth, if you will, compared to the rest of the economy. And so when we're looking at, again, it looks like we are, you know, the Federal Reserve is reinflating another housing boom. And you can look at some of the figures that I put in the article. For example, in the housing, single unit private housing starts are now 2.5 times what they were back in March of 2009. So significant amount of resources, you know, now this new money flowing into the housing industry again, in large part because they're so sensitive to these low interest rates. Median home prices have climbed 52% from its low in 2009 to the latest data. And similarly, we're seeing a bit of a spike in the auto industry. Again, similarly, because of the sensitivity to interest rates, car sales have enjoyed 7 years of positive economic growth coming off lows in 2009, and in total a 70% increase in annual auto sales from 2009 to the current year. Compare some of these pricing increases, compare that to the overall price inflation cumulative of only about 14% from 2009 to present. So you can kind of see where this money is going. This newly printed money.
Right. So, and if we just stopped right there, if we just stopped the conversation right there, the takeaway might be car sales are increasing. The price of housing is going up, but there's more housing in the market. I mean, it sounds like you go, the housing market's improved, the vehicle market's improved, interest rates are low. These all sound like pretty good things, but I guess the question comes down to, what's driving them is what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. What's driving it? Now, this is based off of not real savings, but rather, again, this money created out of thin air. Now, think about in a free market economy where we don't have this false money printing going on. If people's preferences are deciding to start to save more money, they're putting more money aside in their savings, they're not spending as much now, they're not, you know, going out and borrowing money to buy the houses and the cars and things like that. The natural fluctuation of interest rates then would be interest rates to fall because we have a larger, banks have a larger supply. It's called the, you know, economists refer to this as the loanable funds market. So there's a larger supply of these savings to lend out, but not a whole lot of demand right now because people are preferring to save rather than spend now. So what happens, you know, just like any other price, the price falls down. The banks are trying to lower their price, the interest rate, to entice more borrowers. So that's what happens, you know, in the case of where there's actual real savings going on. What happens when the Federal Reserve engages in this monetary printing and drops interest rates? That's sending a false signal out there. These low interest rates are not now representing the actual preferences of consumers, setting money aside in real savings, but rather just this false money. So there's these false signals that are being sent through the marketplace, you know, encouraging a ratcheting up of home building, encouraging a ratcheting up of the auto industry, and those sort of things. But it's not because there's actual savings that people had set aside. This is just fake money being put in there. So, you know, there's a disconnect between the market reality and the interest rate being on the market that causes all kinds of havoc and discoordination between, you know, what happens then is when the, when the interest rates come up again, when the Federal Reserve finally stops printing all this money, the housing industry and the auto industry find themselves, we've created this huge stock, this huge inventory of houses and cars and everything, but that's not because people were actually setting money aside, so there's not all this savings that's available to lend out. This was based on a mirage, basically. It was a house of cards built on sand.
And doesn't it, in a way, I mean, wouldn't it lead to even less savings? So I have a certain amount of extra income, and I go, hey, look at how low the interest rates are. Maybe I buy an ATV. Maybe I buy a second car, something like that. So I'm paying off that loan. Doesn't that lead to even less savings?
Yeah, absolutely right. That's a great point. When these interest rates are kept artificially low, there's less incentive for people to save money. So it kind of self-perpetuates the problem. It makes it even worse. And that kind of leads into the third characteristic or thing to kind of keep an eye on. Because interest rates are so low, people are not really interested in saving, trying to save money in savings accounts or, you know, certificates of deposit, things of that nature, the safer investments, because they're paying next to nothing because interest rates are so low. Instead, then they're going to kind of seek higher returns in more speculative, more risky investments like the stock market. So that's kind of the third aspect of the bubble is the stock market. You know, we've seen, for instance, the Dow Jones average has more than tripled since early 2009. Again, you know, in the interim, you know, that's great. It looks great on people's portfolios. You know, stocks are going up and everything, but is that sustainable? Is that based on real, true fundamentals? Is an actual reflection of, you know, you have stocks for these businesses going up, is that a reflection of the fundamentals of the companies, reflecting the value of the companies? Or again, is this kind of a mirage that's going to come to a halt when the Federal Reserve decides to stop printing money at such a rapid clip?
So you've kind of run through the three-pronged method of kind of looking at whether we're in a bubble. So not everyone listening to the show is an economist. So I guess spoon feed it to me and them. Are we in a bubble? Are we in trouble?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these indicators are certainly pointing to that in that direction. That you know, we're repeating the problems or the mistakes of the past. For instance, the build up to the housing boom and bust in 2008. To a lesser extent, the dot-com bubble back in late 90s and the 2000. You know, that's where the newly printed money back then went into was this the new internet craze and technology and everything. I would certainly, now here's kind of the warning is we don't necessarily know when the bottom's going to fall out. There's certainly some, you know, causes that we, you know, when interest rates start to come back up and all these projects and investments start to look unprofitable and start to get less attractive for consumers because the interest rates come back up and they're not going to have as high a demand then for homes and cars and everything. And I'm writing this in no small part as kind of a heads up, because this has really important implications for North Carolina policy. You know, what happens in when the economy goes bust, like it did in 2008-09, of course, then we see a dramatic fall off in tax revenues to the state budget. And I think it's really vital for state legislators, and it looks like they've been doing a good job of this, by the way, over the last few years, but it's really vital and important for them to be preparing for this next inevitable downturn in the economic cycle that's coming, as these indicators are certainly pointing to. And so a couple of things that I think they've been doing a good job of is, of course, number one, building up the savings reserve fund. So when that rainy day does come, those tax revenues start to dry up, they're not falling into panic mode and having to enact like temporary taxes and things of that nature. You know, they've got that extra money, that cushion to help absorb that blow. So that's really good. And I hope they continue to do that. Of course, keeping taxes low, maybe even lowering them some more, because that's one of the best medicines for trying to recover from a recession is keeping those taxes low. You know, as businesses are trying to come out of that recession, you know, you don't want to be taxing them on their revenue, on their income. You want to make sure that those incentives are in place, that they're enabled to keep more of what they earn and make that bottom line look better and encourage that investment. And then, of course, kind of lastly, one other thing also, don't be engaging now in these recurring budget expenditure commitments, because those are just going to even be more difficult to try to sustain once that revenue falls off. So those are kind of a few things that, you know, I think are really important and relevant to try to draw this back down to North Carolina policy.
Okay. And I was actually going to ask what, you know, being a state-centered show, what can our state do in regards to tempering the federal government's actions? But taking a step further, what can the listeners do? I mean, you say you don't know when the bubble's going to pop. You're saying we're in a bubble. There's going to be a downturn. It's not an if, it's a when. What can the listeners do to insulate themselves?
Yeah, well, I think kind of some of the same things that the state is doing. You know, set that money aside for a rainy day. Don't be fooled into this kind of false prosperity because your stock market portfolio is looking good. You know, the price on your home is going, you know, the value on your home is going up. You know, don't start. You know, I would certainly advise against, you know, using that to leverage more like home equity mortgages or things like that, because this is kind of it's a mirage. It's a temporary kind of false boom. And, you know, just kind of be prepared, be smart, keep your eyes on things, set money aside for a rainy day. Watch for indicators of the stock market starting to crash, because it's just a matter of time. It's just kind of be smart, set the money aside and don't get caught up. Try not to get caught up in this wave of what feels like, you know, good times, because they're certainly not going to last forever.
So I should not buy the ATV now.
Well, pay cash.
There we go. I'll pick one off Craigslist.
There you go.
That'll work. All right. Well, thank you for coming on and talking with us about the bubble that our economy's in and the coming crash and making us all sad ready to start our week off.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, I think it's better for people and legislators, of course, to be prepared and you know the truth about what's going on.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you to Brian for taking the time to take us through what a bubble economy is and what it could mean for us, because that's really what it's all about, is how do the things that our leaders on the federal and state level affect us, whether it is our pocketbooks, whether it is our lives, whether it is anything in between. So if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, you're missing out on the most simple way to get the show to your device, whether that's your phone, your tablet, your computer. All you need to do is go search What Matters in North Carolina, where you listen to podcasts, and you will be able to subscribe and get the show to your device without any effort from yourself. Also, if you want to engage with us, because we want to hear from you on the show, we want to hear what you think about what's going on and what could be done better, what you want us to talk about, you can do that by engaging with us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter at What Matters NC. That's on Facebook and Twitter at What Matters NC. Also, go to the Freedom Action Network website, where you can hear older episodes of the show, as well as the NC Gundad Show and the Free to Brew Show, which are other shows on the Freedom Action Network. And again, that is freedomactionnetwork.com. And we'll catch you next time.